Continue with Akev. We were mentioning the blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu said would accrue to the Jewish people for their loyalty to Torah and mitzvahs. And we mentioned some of them yesterday. And Moshe says some additional things we'll get to in one second. I'm just fumbling with something. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all of your tefillos will be accepted and be fulfilled. He says, you will not have people who are barren, and you will not have the populace or any of the populace who will be ignorant of Torah. He says every single member of the Jewish people would be able to give answers to any heretic. And the Medrash brings the following example. On the way to Yerushalayim, Rav Yonah's son and a simple cattle driver went past Shomron. Shomron is where the Kusim lived. These were the people that had been settled by Sancheirev in the area where the ten Shvatim had been. They accepted some type of Judaism, but they also remained idol worshippers, and their status was questionable. A Kusi saw them and said, where are you going? And they said, we're going to Yerushalayim to daven in the ruins of the Beis Hamikdash. And he said, what are you doing there? He said, why don't you come to our beautiful idol at Har Gerizim. At least it's built up. You don't have to sift through sand and rubble and cement. And Rav Yonason said to them, could you explain something to me? What is it that makes your Har Gerizim holy? He said, history. I said, history? He said, yeah. He says, this mountain was not touched by the Mabul, the flood, in the days of Noah. He says, how did you know that? He says, oh, look at Yechezkel, he says, where the Navi says to Klal Yisroel, you, the land, which was not purified of the Averos, of your inhabitants, the rain did not descend on it on the day of God's anger. Therefore, this applies that the Mabul didn't reach Eretz Yisroel because of the mountain, right? Which is Har Gerizim. The Rav Yonason said, hold on. If that's the case, why did God not say to Noah, take your collection, your zoo, and the people, and live on top of Har Gerizim? You could have stayed there during the plague. And the Kusi said, oh, I have a tradition that, while I agree the Almighty could have saved Noah in any way, he wanted him to build a teva as a test to see whether he would listen or not. Rav Yonason was thinking, and he was thinking of an answer, and the Jewish cattle driver said, Rebbe, would you allow me to give him an answer? And he said, sure. He turned, this cattle driver, turned to the Kusi, and he said, is Har Gerizim under the sky? And he said, of course it is. He says, so let me ask you a question. You're quoting from Yechezkel. Let me quote from the Torah. It says, the waters rose 15 amos high and covered all of the mountains under the sky. Therefore, Har Gerizim was obviously covered. And so your claim is obviously false. The fact that this person could have such an answer prompted Rav Yonah's son to descend from his donkey, and he put the cattle driver on his donkey and he led him for a certain distance in honor of his great vort. And he says, I learned Torah from you. And when you learn Torah from somebody, you're required to show them due deference with respect. And this person did not have the reputation for being highly knowledgeable in Torah, but he had enough, as it says, to answer the Kusi, and that's what they're saying. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will remove all illnesses and Kol Choyli Mitzrayim, whatever diseases were prevalent in Mitzrayim, you would not know. The opposite, it says, was also promised, I guess in the Tochacha, that if you forsake HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could be subject to significant illnesses. Moshe continued, if you're honest and if you're loyal, you will consume all the nations which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. You will be able to miraculously defeat your enemies. You will not be required to use military devices at all. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that in settling Eretz Yisroel in the best way, he would send the tzira, the poisonous hornet.
Hornet.
That's what I said.
Hornet.
That's what I said.
I know.
Yeah, to get the, to kill, right, and to poison the people. Moshe empathized that Klal Yisroel's destiny would be to destroy idol worshippers in Eretz Yisroel. They didn't do it 100%. The Torah records that, and the Navi records that. And Moshe said, if you show them misguided mercy, they will end up being, in effect, thorns in your eyes. You will end up, in some ways, being affected and, unfortunately, copying their ways. He also said to the people, as long as you have loyalty, you have no reason to fear the seven nations that are in the land. They would meet the same type of fate as Paro. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to treat Klal Yisrael differently. We're told that when Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed all of the Egyptian gods, but for, I think, Baal Tzephon, who he wanted to leave alone so that Paro could think, oh, that's the god that stood up to the Almighty. But here, he gave the Jews, right, the mitzvah to destroy idols and not to take anything from the idols that they broke, none of their parts, their jewels, their gold, their silver, etc. They are to be disgusted and treated with abhorrence in all ways. And you're not even supposed to call them by their names. Give them a nickname. Call them the outhouse. Moshe then relates how the Jewish people lived for the 40 years in the Midbar, which was supposed to be a seminar in Frumkeit, how to behave when they got to Eretz Yisroel. He said, I want you to remember that when we left Mitzrayim, all we had at most was a 1 month supply of the matzahs we baked. Nothing else. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you mun throughout the period. One, it was given because it had a spiritual component, which was divine assistance to absorb Torah. It gave you special levels of wisdom and understanding. And we remember it said, Lamana Noischa, God gave the mun to test you. Would you keep his mitzvos or not? Would you go out on Shabbos and try to find it when I told you it wouldn't fall? And we know it was only Dasan and Aviram who tried. And it's going to be a test because you will never, ever have more than a day's rations in your tent. At breakfast time, you'll have that. By dinner, there's nothing left. And on the month, if the month didn't fall the next day, you had nothing. And you had to live that way constantly. In that manner, he tested and he strengthened your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, a Jew called Menachem asked the Chachamim to explain to him the pasuk that we talked it. He afflicted you and he let you hunger when he fed you the mun. He says, I don't understand. He says, I can understand the concept of requiring faith regularly. It's a type of affliction that you've got to believe not to become totally worried. But he said, what is this he let you hunger? He said, didn't the Jews in the Midbar receive, we said, a full amount of a measure of mon? Omer la gulgoyles. A chacham took two cucumbers of equal size. One of them was whole and one of them he cut up. He said, what's the market price for the whole one? He said, 2 mana. And he said, what about the chopped up one? I guess that's before they had cucumber salad. He said, only half the price. He said, why is a whole more valuable than a half or pieces? He says, part of the enjoyment in food is its appearance. And we know that many of the chefs in the world talk about the ambience, etc. He says, the human eye doesn't have as much satiation, satisfaction from a broken cucumber as from a full one. And he says, that's precisely what it means that they were a certain deprivation. The mun was delicious, but the people saw nothing else but mun, day after day after day. And I guess he says, eventually, for some of them, their hunger was not completely dissipated because they lacked this extra satisfaction of appearance. And I don't think that that was a common dilemma, because of obviously those who were on a higher level didn't really worry about it, because Amon was totally absorbed in the body. Moshe said, the Amon trained you to have complete faith in the Rabbona Shalala. And it showed your greatness to all the nations. And this emuna protected you from having the midos hadin, the attribute of justice, accusing you. And we have the pasuk in the Torah that says, man does not live by bread alone, but each saying, ki moitzi pi Hashem, each saying from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what really is life. The Medrash says, food in it of itself has no intrinsic ability to nourish people. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't willed it that that would happen, it would have been of no value. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made nature in such a way that food would give nourishment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take the same nourishing factor and put it into anything. For example, the man, which was a totally spiritual food, and we're told it was given in the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash says that the juxtaposition that man does not live alone means that bread, food, is the nourishment for our bodies. Torah is the nourishment for our nitzchias, for our everlasting souls. And Moshe reminded the Jewish people of the conditions that they lived with in the desert. You never needed a change of clothes. They grew with you. I guess if you lost weight, they may have shrunk with you. They were constantly cleaned by the winds. You had no need to ever wash anything. And you never suffered from perspiration, he said. For 40 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu schooled you in the Midbar, turning you into individuals who are on a sufficiently high spiritual level to go into Eretz Yisroel, the highest spiritual land in the world. And Moshe then talks about Eretz Yisroel, about the fact that it has hidden water resources. He says there are buried brooks, springs, and rivers, but they're not visible. They're subterranean. He said, it is a land that is famed for luscious produce, especially the seven peros, wheat, barley, grape, figs, pomegranates, the olives which yield the olive oil and dates. And it is a land that is designed to be able to give you natural resources, iron and brass, rocks that you can build appropriate homes, etc. Egypt, where they had to invent bricks, didn't have this rock terrain. You have a, and we know that in this parsha we have the mitzvah deraisa, v'achalta v'savata v'irachta v'Hashem Elokecha. You will eat, you will be satiated, and then you're required to bench. This is the, this may be the, I just seems, people say this is one, or maybe the only truly bracha that's a deraisa, that's a Torah mitzvah. Although others say the bracha on the Torah, right? Shebrach Arbonu is also in that category. Right? And then Moshe says, remember, and I'm warning you, right? That when you are able to enjoy all the material aspects of Klal Yisroel, be on guard that you do not lose your Yirah Shamayim, your fear in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe says, human nature is such that one who becomes exceedingly wealthy is apt to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even someone who turns from having been poor into someone being wealthy is subject to that risk. He says, a rich man has the ability to forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu because there may be a certain sense of security that one has from his accumulation of materiality. Unlike someone who is in a more deprived state and is constantly davening to the Rabbonu Shel Olam to help him. Moshe says, I know that when you will have lived in Eretz Yisroel for a period of time, and you will have homes, and you will have fields with tremendous yield, and your ability to trade with others will create wealth. You are now, as a nation, in danger of being able to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either in whole or in part. And you have that tremendous Yetzer Hara to say, Koichi v'otzem yadi asas achayil hazeh. My own strength and my own effort, my own seichel, my own diligence, that's what made me. He said, it'll be easier then, or easy then, to forget the 40-year seminar in the desert where you lived only through Nisim, and you learned both Emunah on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you developed Yirah Shamayim. I am telling you now that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you all these brachas, you are to maintain the same level of Yiddishkeit, the same level of adherence to mitzvos, to learning. Because, unfortunately, Moshe said, if the Jewish people will forsake the Rabbonu Shel Olam when they live in prosperity in Eretz Canaan, you're going to unfortunately end up being exiled. And you will suffer for this. It's the lack of, not just faith, but the lack of action in keeping Torah and mitzvot that unfortunately was the undoing of Klal Yisroel. And as Moshe goes through Devarim, and he'll go through the Toichacha as well, he predicts what will happen. Unfortunately, we can now say what did happen. Moshe saw all of Jewish history up to and including the time of Moshiach and maybe thereafter, but definitely everything until the Gula Shlema. Moshe had the perspective of all generations, and Moshe was trying to impart the message that, listen to me, try and do it the way you should and avoid the dire consequences of not doing it. We unfortunately know that our history was a history of failure, of Avodah Zorah at times, Sinas Chinam and everything else. And in reading these parshas, the Chachamim tell us we too should try to understand that the derech back is only with enhancing our emuna, our yirah shamayim, and in Torah and mitzvos. Okay, we'll stop.